Hello, good evening, and welcome to News 9. This bulletin is live on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra. We're also live on Love 99.5 FM in Kumasi and on over 30 affiliates across the country. Well, tonight, the former Chief Justice Getu Tokunu launches spirited legal battle, challenging her dismissal from office and contesting the President's authority to strip her of her role as Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. We'll bring you details of this breaking story. Also coming up tonight, the Forestry Commission and the National Anti-Illegal Mining Operations Squad launched separate but coordinated raids in two forest reserves and three rivers in a dramatic multi-region assault on illegal miners, escalating the fight against Galamsey only days after mounting public pressure from CSOs against illegal mining.
The Desiree Forest Reserve at Mankraso District, there was a major clampdown today. Similar ones running concurrently in the Anyafutu Forest Reserve of Nkawie District, even in Takwa, Task Force purging in Ankobra, the Bonsai Rivers.
We have details as government reactivates the military to help in the renewed crackdown.
After each episode of clearance, the military is mounting a stationed surveillance across all the 44 forest reserves that have been affected by illegal mining, so that the illegal miners do not return.
We'll also hear from the Forestry Commission and the Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Mining. Also coming up tonight, intelligence-led operation by NACOC and police leads to the arrest of eight suspects, dealing a major blow to a drug network in Kintampo.
It's time for us to send the message out there that enforcement is also part of the work. And that is the main purpose of our operation this afternoon.
Coming up in business.
Bank of Ghana cuts policy rate by some significant margin to 21.5% as it moves to assure market of adequate dollars to support the Ghana city.
And in sports,
former Arsenal midfielder Thomas Partey, in his appearance at the SADC Crown Court, denied raping two women and sexually assaulting a third.
And a bit later, brace yourselves to pay for goods and services with your Ghana card. That's according to the National Identification Authority as it moves to roll out the e-wallet system that allows holders to use the card for electronic transaction.
The e-passport has already been activated. The next one we want to do is the e-wallet. Now, once we activate the e-wallet, what it means is that you can put money on your Ghana card and use it to do transaction.
We got details as the NIA says it has cleared all backlogs of over 600,000 Ghana cards.
What I did was that in partnership with them, they gave us over 700,000 cards, which we used to print all the backlogs. The backlogs was over 640,000. We printed it for Greater Accra, Volta, Uti.
We got the latest of these and many other stories coming up in the next 1 hour. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Remember, you can be a part of the show by sending us a WhatsApp on 055 1111 997. Details shortly. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. Let's begin with this breaking story tonight, because the former Chief Justice, Getu Tokunu, has launched a spirited fight in court, challenging her dismissal as a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. In an application for judicial review, she's asking the court to declare that the President had no power to remove her without following the mandatory procedure in Article 146 of the Constitution. She's also seeking to have the presidential warrant of removal quashed, describing it as unlawful, null and void. Let's go onto the telephone lines right now and speak to our legal affairs correspondent Kweku Asante, who is joining us with more on this particular breaking story. We try to connect with Kweku Asante to give us more details about this particular breaking story. But this is the news that's just coming in. It indicates that ousted Chief Justice Getu Tokunu has launched a fight in court. She's challenging her dismissal as a Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in an application for judicial review. She's asking the court to declare that the President had no power to remove her without following the mandatory procedure in Article 146 of the Constitution. And some of the things she's seeking is also to have the presidential warrant of removal quashed, describing it as unlawful, void, and now. Right, and let's go on to the telephone lines right now and speak to Kweku Asante, who is joining us with details. Kweku, what more can you tell us? We're still trying to connect with our correspondent, Kweku Asante, who is joining us on Zoom right now. I want to believe we have Kweku Asante on the line right now. Kweku, if you can hear me, please give us more details about this breaking story.
Well, yes, Madam Gertrude Tokono, who has been removed as Chief Justice and also Justice of the Supreme Court, has now filed this matter of judicial review at the High Court. We must emphasize that Madam Gertrude Tokono, in this that was filed today at 2:15 p.m., does not challenge her removal as Chief Justice. We do not know if she will do so later, but this particular action that has been filed challenges her removal as a Justice of the Supreme Court. Our audience may recall that in that warrant that was signed by President John Dramani Mahama that dismissed Madam Gertrude Tokono from office as Chief Justice, also dismissed her as a Justice of the Supreme Court. In fact, that is what the warrant said, that the president had removed her as both Chief Justice and Justice of the Supreme Court. In this action that Madam Gertrude Tokono has filed, she contends that the process for removing a Chief Justice is not the same as that of removing an ordinary Justice of the Supreme Court. And that in any case, the petitions that were filed against her, in fact, including that of Mr. Daniel Ofori, which succeeded in removing her as Chief Justice, did not ask for her removal as a Justice of the Supreme Court. And that, in fact, it did ask for her removal as Chief Justice. And so her contention is that she could only, on the basis of those petitions and the process which was subsequently triggered, be removed as Chief Justice and not as a Justice of the Supreme Court as well. Let me read part of the release she's seeking in this notice of judicial review application that she has filed. She says, a declaration that the president is devoid of power to remove a justice of the Superior Court from office without recourse to the mandatory procedure set out in Article 146 of the Constitution. A declaration that a jurisdiction to hear a petition for the removal of a justice of the Superior Court lies with a body properly constituted under Article 146(4) of the 1992 Constitution. A declaration that a warrant of removal executed by the President dated 1st September purportedly removing the Chief Justice or Madam Tokono from the office as Chief Justice and office of a Justice of the Superior Court of Judicature is unlawful, now void and of no effect. An order of certiorari to bring into this honorable court for the purpose of being quashed and for the quashing of the warrant of removal dated September 1, 2025, referred to in paragraph C above, and to quash him has been in violation of the mandatory provisions regarding the removal of a justice of the Supreme Court of Judicature. And so she goes on to depose affidavits and explain what, in her view, is the rightful process. And we should say that when you look at Article 146, it is literally divided into two, but it's titled Removal of a Justice of the Superior Court. Between 146.1 and up to 146.5, talks about removing an ordinary justice of the Superior Court of Judicature. In that process, the petition will go to the Chief Justice, who will then make a prima facie determination and then set up a five-member committee. And then, consequently, the committee recommends that that justice of the Superior Court, which includes
do we still have Kweku?
The High Court, line. Court of Appeal, and Supreme Court ought to be removed. This has to do with the Chief Justice. Then the process goes to the President. The Chief Justice seems to have a different opinion about this, and that is why she has gone to the High Court for a judicial review on this matter again.
So, to be clear, Kweku, this one is to challenge her removal as a judge at the Supreme Court and not as the Chief Justice.
Yes, in the relief she's seeking, her view is that the president could not have used the same process. In fact, the petitions that came were for her removal as Chief Justice, and that all her responses and everything that she did was to the response having to do with the office of the Chief Justice. And so her view is that the process having to do with removing an ordinary judge of the Supreme Court or the Superior Court is not the same as that of removing the Chief Justice. Mm. And so the president's warrant of removal must be suspended. And that
We know that she's already gone to the ECOWAS court, calling her removal as Chief Justice illegal and calling for her reinstatement. Do we also have any indication that she might file a separate case at the Supreme Court challenging her removal as Chief Justice as well?
Well, that is not something that we do know for now. In fact, the matter you referred to having to do with the case at the ECOWAS court has still not been decided. In fact, the latest was that the Chief Justice had actually filed at the ECOWAS court, insisting that the Attorney General of Ghana had filed out of time, and because of that, the matter should be decided in her favor. The ECOWAS court is yet to decide on that. And she has also not given any indication as to whether she's going to challenge her removal as Chief Justice. But the case she has now filed at the High Court is for judicial review, and that the High Court should quash, by order of certiorari, the removal of herself as a justice of the Supreme Court. She's specific on this one, and she has not yet challenged her removal as Chief Justice Ken.
Thank you very much, Kwaku Asante. He's our legal affairs correspondent there, bringing us up to speed with this particular breaking news. And of course, we will be updating our listeners as and when we get more details about this particular development. And let's talk about illegal mining now, because the battle lines against illegal mining were drawn as the Forestry Commission and the National Anti-Illegal Mining Operations Squad carried out a series of coordinated and separate raids. Well, the joint offensive swept through two forest reserves and three rivers across different regions, striking at the heart of Galamsey operations. The dramatic multi-region assault marks a sharp escalation in government's fight against the menace, coming just days after the civil society organizations intensified public pressure for stronger action to protect the country's lands and waterways. Let's get onto the telephone lines right now and speak to the spokesperson for the National Anti-Illegal Mining Operations Squad, Pakwisi Shandoff, who is joining us with the latest. Pakwisi, grateful for your time this evening. Let's begin with the areas that you targeted. Run us through.
So as of now, there is, today in particular, there was three forceful deployments that was done by the National Anti-Illegal Mining Operations Secretariat. The first one operated along the Ancobra River with support from the Blue Water Guards, who provided local intelligence. And the second one had two officers and 50 troops, as well as some staff from the Forestry Guard, who went through the Nkaria Forest District in the Ashanti region. The third one also was led by two officers and 50 troops, and they also gathered local intelligence from the Blue Water Guards, and they specifically were targeting the Desert Forest Reserve in the Bankrasu Forest District in the Ahafo region. All of these three occurred simultaneously, and all of that is part of government's efforts to ensure that really the issue of illegal mining becomes a thing of the past.
And what happened to the individuals that you met at these sites? Have they been arrested, handed over to the police? And if they are, how many are they?
Right. So we would provide details on that hopefully very, very soon. But of course, there were some arrests that were effected. Principally, what normally has been the trend is that most of these illegal miners sense and, you know, flee the scene when they notice the arrival of the NIMO's team. But regardless, for today's operation, we would provide the details on the arrests that have been effected so far. But in terms of seizures and confiscations, I can confidently tell you that a lot of illegal mining equipment vis-a-vis chamfans and water pumps and, you know, housing shelters were destroyed today. We'll provide the accurate figures when we audit what was done very soon, latest by tomorrow.
Pakwisi, if you say that the individuals that have been arrested, you cannot account for them and you'll be providing them very soon.
It's not a matter of not being able to account for them. It is hold on. It's not a matter of, I'm not saying we are not able to account for them. Of course, when you effect an arrest, you'll be able to account for them. I am saying that I'll provide the details at another forum, hopefully latest by tomorrow. Indeed, we'll communicate fully on the results of these three consecutive swoops that were done today. So when that detail is provided, I'm sure you see the arrest, the persons involved. Of course, you would also be privy to the specific equipment that have been seized as of today.
How long is this exercise going to last?
So this particular exercise, as the Minister for Government Communication had indicated, is supposed to be a very lasting program in the sense that we have a total of 288 forest reserves across the country. 44 have been besieged and impacted. Right now, the approach of the ministry is to deploy uninterrupted surveillance, of course, through the military, that is NIMOS, to all of these 44 forest reserves. And so it will end as when we are overwhelmingly convinced that the threat has died down. But as of now, it is continuing unabated. There's not going to be any interruption whatsoever.
Okay. And where to from here? Where next are you moving tomorrow, probably?
The activities of NIMOS are intelligence-led. I don't think it is advisable to indicate their next location because, of course, what if the illegal miners head and then they advise themselves accordingly? Indeed, even without them knowing the coming of the NIMOS team, they always find a way to escape. So I think, Kenneth, I don't think we can agree it's not advisable to disclose the next move of NIMOS.
Okay, thank you very much, Pakwesi Shandoff there, right, bringing us an update on the raid today. He's the spokesperson for the National Anti-Illegal Mining Operations Squad. Well, let's still stay on the telephone lines and this time speak to the Deputy Forestry Commissioner, Elikem Kotoku. Uh-huh. Thank you very much, Elikem, for your time this evening. You were also part of this intelligence-led operation that happened. But the police, we understand, were withdrawn from this fight as the president made us aware. I want to find out, were the forest guards also withdrawn as well in this fight?
Thank you and good evening to your listeners. Forestry Commission is actively involved in the exercise and it is only the police who were withdrawn. But this is just aimed at ensuring that there is very well coordinated efforts towards the exercise, and especially because NIMOS was set up purposely in order to see to the execution of this mandate, it was just proper that they constitute whatever needs to be done and work based on intelligence-led information.
You were also you were active on the ground. Can you confirm the number of persons that were arrested?
The exact numbers I cannot give up now, as it is a little too early. It's still an exercise that is in motion, and we would want to be, how do I put it, a bit discreet in some of the information we gave out. And this is going to be an ongoing exercise. That would be, it won't be just a stopgap measure or a temporary one. We need to make sure that we continue it and even station officers at some of these places that we believe that the environmental criminals get back to after we drive them away.
There have been growing concerns from CSOs, from all walks of life in Ghana for a state of emergency, a declaration of a state of emergency. Is this a sort of way to prove that we can fight this one without declaring a state of emergency, this renewed fight?
I'll be glad if I can use just 2 minutes to clarify these. Yes, the president made it clear that it hasn't gotten to where he needs to issue a state of emergency. That is because he feels all avenues have not been exhausted yet. Don't forget that the moment he took over office, he did announce that no new licenses be issued. That's the first step he took. Then also, now as we speak, the LI 2462 is being repealed. He also actually reintroduced what we call the RCONZEB, which is the Responsible Community Mining and Skills Development Program, the program that our gallant eight were going for its launch where they unfortunately lost their lives. The NIMOS was also launched, as well as the Blue Water Guards and many other initiatives. The president even believes that we must engage more with our traditional authorities who are very well involved, not in the mining, but wherever any mining activity is going on, our traditional authorities are aware of the land because of our land tenure system. Those are the short-term measures. Medium, we need to look at extensive education. Political will and law enforcement is also another key thing. And the sector minister is equally very poised, just as the president has directed, for all actions to be taken. So subsequent days, we'll even see more effort by NIMO and other security agencies ensuring that we now confront these people head on. We can no longer be treating them with velvet gloves, while they are posing a major threat to our existence.
Okay, thank you very much. Elekem Kotoku is the Deputy Forestry Commissioner there. Let's still stay on the telephone lines and speak to the convener of the Ghana Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Kenneth Ashigbe, whose organization has been piling pressure on government to end what they have described as an environmental genocide. Dr. Ashigbe, grateful for your time this evening. You've been listening in to the two gentlemen who were part of the operations today. Satisfied?
Well, thank you very much. The interesting thing to say is that the coalition is on a platform of NIMOS. And so at the beginning of this week, we've seen the activities that NIMOS has been having. And as the coalition said in its statement, NIMOS, we believe, is a good plan. It's a good action that is being taken. You saw my two colleagues struggle in telling you how many people have been arrested. We would wait to see the numbers. What we believe should happen is that it's good Gold Board has given some money, some 5 million and some pickups to NIMOS. We still think that it is inadequate. As we said in our statement, NIMOS need to be resourced a lot more. The issue, and I think Elikam had mentioned the fact that the people, Elikam or Shando, one of them mentioned that by the time they gather the people, NIMOS infiltration increasingly need to be a lot more intelligence-led so that we are able to arrest these people. And the interest should not be in these people. The interest should be how do we get these people to then link us up to the people who are their sponsors. So that's where the interest should be. The interest should be the gold these people have sold. Who have they sold it to? Because see, the thing now is that Gold Board is also doing a good job at making sure that they get all the gold. So we should be able to track the gold back into these people so that we arrest the kingpins. The thing to do is to be able to deal with the kingpins. These actions are good. A good question to ask also is that His Excellency mentioned it, and in our petition, we asked for timelines on these milestones. So when are we going to start seeing that the areas that have been hit, a permanent structure of the military, the forest people, the police being permanently there so that these people don't return? Because the point they made, it's a very important point. Because currently, they hit the places, the people escape, they burn the equipment. But these people have mine, they have a lot of gold, they have a lot of money. So they are able to come back. But if we are able to position a team permanently there, then that becomes a deterrent. So all of this is good. But you see, in all of this, the issue about the state of emergency, it's still a critical part. Because what it then adds to government is other things that need to be done. The question we should be asking.
Dr. Ashik, I was coming there that despite all these things that NIMOS and other agencies say they're doing, are you still unrelenting on your demand for a declaration of a state of emergency still?
You see, the thing about it is that you have turbidity of water, which is currently at 32,000 MTUs. In all of these things that we're doing, effort is good. Activity is good. But the most important thing is impact. What is the impact of what we are doing? When you have turbidity of water at the levels they are, you need to be worried. The good thing is that there's been a hit around the Bonta area. And the Bonta treatment plant is one of them that have been shut. I am hoping that they are looking at the entire Bonta so that where they take this source for, so that they are dealing with it. You know, but again, you will want to look at what the impact is. So that your turbidity of water, what is happening to it?
with 32,000 NTUs, you are not out of the woods yet. And so what are the other things that government needs to do? That currently we are not unable to do that a state of emergency would be able to help us with. How is it that we are still struggling to get the fast track courts to come in? How is it that, you know, I know the answer. The answer currently is that under Act 995,
mm-hmm.
you have to go to court and get prosecution before you would be able to do anything with the excavators that have been seized. Under a state of emergency, could you reverse that? So there are some of the things that a targeted state of emergency in a few places, you know, and very, very targeted, that would help. And so I think that particular point is still important.
Mm.
And we will plead with His Excellency the President that the statement, which is a petition to him, we are waiting for that meeting with him. Because when we wrote to him the first time, he has said to us that we should meet the Minister for Lands. We had the Minister for Lands. All these things that we had mentioned, we stated it, and we are sure that the Minister for Lands has forwarded that to His Excellency the President. It is important that we do that meeting and be able to express some of these things to His Excellency, and so that we help him. And it's important that, again, that everybody knows that this thing that we do as a coalition, that you, the media, we've been at this since 2016, is for nothing.
Mm.
But just to solve the problem. And so the 9 months operations are good. There's a bit more we can do to make it a bit more permanent, and that's very good.
Dr. Shigbe, to refer to NIMOS, the PRO mentioned that they are going to be unrelenting in this new fight or renewed fight. They will be there until they are sure that everything has gone down or things have settled. Is that not convincing enough?
Again, as I said, NIMOS is a creation that we have welcomed. The thing about NIMOS is the fact that you need some permanency in it. So some of the things that some of us will be monitoring is how permanent would, after they've hit a particular place, how permanent would they be in those particular places? Let's bear in mind, you see, this route we've gone before, when I hear some people, I've heard some people ask that, where was I when the former government was in power? Remember, when the former government was in power, when we got turbidity at 14,000 NTUs, and we all rallied round, including elements within the NDC and all of that, what did we see? We saw some operation, something that happened, and they went into the achievement area and all of that. And when they did, after a few minutes, they moved. So we want to make sure that NIMOS learns from what has happened in the past, and so that their operation is different. They are permanently situating in these particular places. You have a state of emergency around the water place, so that anybody who goes there, you are able to arrest. Okay. It is from the learning from the past, which is the reason why we say some of the things that we are saying.
Okay.
So that when all of these things are done, we actually are able to come back from the precipice that we currently are in. And you have spot on. This is an existential threat. This is genocide, ecocide that is being perpetrated. So we all need, again, support the president. The invitation that the current Minister for Lands has given to us, we all need to join that to ensure that this work is worked and we are able to do that effectively.
Dr. Kenneth Ashigbe, glad you could join us tonight. He is the convener of the Coalition Against Galamsey, Ghana. Well, let's take you to the Benue region now, because in a significant blow to the narcotics trade in the Benue East region, an intelligence-led operation by the Narcotics Control Commission, NACOC, and the Ghana Police Service have led to the arrest of 8 suspects. The raid, which uncovered a substantial quantity of suspected illicit drugs, marks a decisive shift from public sensitization to forceful enforcement of anti-drug laws. Well, Regional Commissioner Portia Dumayako said the move is necessary to sanitize the system and curb the drug-fueled violence and crime devastating local youth. The following report has more.
Acting on precise intelligence, the joint NACOC and police team targeted 2 specific locations within the Kintampo municipality. Their smart search uncovered what is believed to be a substantial stash of narcotics. The suspects and the evidence were swiftly transported here to Tichiman for processing, marking a significant blow to the local drug trade. This isn't just a seizure. NACOC says it is a clear message that the era of warnings is over and the era of enforcements has begun.
It's time
for us to send the message out there that enforcement is also part of the work. And that is the main purpose of our operation this afternoon.
But the commissioner revealed a more insidious problem festering beneath the surface, the corruption of the very young, often by those they trust the most.
You can't send your child, go and buy cigarettes for me, go and buy alcohol. The child starts tasting some of these things. And then they hook on it. They go to the secondary schools. They see people doing it. And so they also start doing it because, after all, their fathers and mothers are doing it at home.
NCO Wajia Wotomo, who led the operation, expressed shock at the conditions and the busyness of these hideouts and asked that steps are being taken to bend down a wooden structure that served as a den for these addicts. So what happens next? The suspects will be processed and arraigned before court. The substances will be sent to the lab for confirmatory testing. But the larger message from NACOC is clear. The era of mere warnings is over. They are now on the offensive, targeting the suppliers to protect the vulnerable. A significant blow has been struck, but the war is far from over. Anna Sabit, Joy News, Techiman.
And George Riafe is here with the latest in business. But right after George brings us business, we'll continue with our breaking news story tonight, where the former Chief Justice Getu Tokono has launched a spirited legal battle challenging her dismissal from office and contesting the president's authority to strip her of her role as a justice of the Supreme Court. George, what do you have for us in business?
Well, we have something coming from the Bank of Ghana because it has cut the key lending rate to commercial banks by some significant margin to 21.5% as it moves to a sure market of adequate dollars to support the city. And total value of mobile money transactions hit 2.7 trillion Ghana cedis ending August this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, your number one stop shop for all your office essentials. Synthesis Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal. Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana has cut its key lending rate to the commercial banks by some significant margin. The Bank of Ghana dropped the rate by 350 basis points to 21.5%. Speaking at a news conference in Accra, Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Johnson Isiama noted that the action was also influenced by improved economic situation and inflation outlook being firmly under control.
So given the current state of macroeconomic conditions, the view of the committee was that inflation will continue to ease in the near term. And in the outlook, headline inflation is expected to drop to within the medium-term target of 8 ± 2% by the end of the fourth quarter. However, the possible upward review of utility tariffs could exert some price pressures in the medium term. Notwithstanding this, maintenance of an appropriate monetary policy stance, strong sterilization efforts, ongoing fiscal consolidation, and adequate reserve buffers should sustain the disinflation process.
Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Johnson Isiama. Meanwhile, the Bank of Ghana has also announced that it has reviewed the net open position limits for commercial banks by revising the single limit from 5% to between 0 to minus 10%, effective October 1. According to the Bank of Ghana Governor, this should make available more dollars to the commercial banks. Later, Development Associate Director at financial advisory firm Deloitte, Dennis Brown, says the cut in the monetary policy rate is in the right direction.
Whenever the CD depreciates, and as rapidly as it has over the last 1 month, it's just a matter of time before it tells in the headline inflation. So Bank of Ghana would be aware of that. And if you reduce further the monetary policy rate, what you are doing is rather making spending attractive and creating disinvestment, you know, from those that have excess liquidity. If that is not strongly backed by supply of goods and services, then you have a situation where you have more money chasing fewer goods. And then, you know, kitchens demand pull inflation, which is really what the monetary policy rate fights.
Associate Director at financial advisory firm Deloitte, Dennis Brown. Now, the total value of mobile money transactions reached record levels and in August this year. Data released by the Bank of Ghana showed that it hit 2.7 trillion cedis for the first 8 months of this year. There is more in this report.
The 2.7 trillion cedis represents a significant leap in terms of what the Bank of Ghana recorded in the same period for last year. The data showed that the amount has been declining marginally since May this year to about 356 billion cedis. When it comes to the total amount of mobile money funds saved with commercial banks, the Bank of Ghana puts the amount at 196 billion cedis. The spike in the numbers, according to some industry persons, can be linked to more people using the mobile money platform now for payments in the country. Again, total number of registered mobile money accounts stood at 77.7 million. However, it appears only 25 million were active. In terms of employment, the mobile money platform has given jobs to more than 900,000 people as mobile money agents.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, Trade Think Tank and Consumer Protection Group, CATS International, has described the intense competition among the oil marketing companies in terms of pricing as good for consumers. Fuel prices should have gone up from Tuesday. However, industry sources say competition is forcing a lot of the oil companies to defer the adjustment. The West African director of CATS International, however, says the development makes a strong case for a competition law to be passed to check any form of cartel in the industry.
So for us to have competition in the market, there must be multiple players. So we need to remove entry barriers to allow more firms to come and compete in the market. And that is how we can see competition in the market. Beyond that, we also need to ensure that the competition law comes in place to also guide against corporate conduct like fixing, abuse of dominance, cartels, and other things. Sometimes we may have multiple players, but yet they may form association cartels to just fix prices, just that consumers will not get the best out of the market forces.
Apiakumu Kusi Adumako is the West African Director of CATS International. The government says it has made some significant progress on the establishment of a new national carrier for the country. Now, taking its turn at the Government Accountability Series program today, Transport Minister Joseph Bukari says the established committee has come very far also with some proposals on this move.
His Excellency the President directed that we work to re-establish a national air carrier and that I inaugurated a 10-member task force that is currently working. They have submitted an inception report and an interim report who focus on the financial modalities that will take to be able to re-establish a national airline. And they are also looking at other practices that should we re-establish that airline, what or how will it be operated such that government interference will be very minimal for it to function for the kind of aviation industry we want to feed in.
And that is the Transport Minister Joseph Bukari there. So it looks like, as the phrase can be used, the plans are far advanced for us to have a new national carrier. And also some development of the Kumasi. Is it Prempeh that I started?
The first
airport as well, in terms of the expansion works and also the time that they will close, I mean, extended further so that you can even get there as late as 10 p.m. as well. Move to Kumasi, come back to Accra, and the expansion of the runway and even the Bolgatanga Airport as well. Okay. So some interesting thing the minister spoke about during that engagement there.
Those are remarkable feats only if they can materialize.
Yeah. Whether to be Ghana Airways again or Ghana International Airline.
I mean, regardless, we still want a national carrier.
Or Obake Airlines.
Or Akwa Aba Airlines.
Okay.
George, thank you very much for bringing us the latest in business. Well, let's take you back to our breaking story. And if you just joined us, we've been telling you about the former Chief Justice Getu Tukunu, who has launched spirited legal battle challenging her dismissal from office and contesting the president's authority to strip her of her role as Justice of the Supreme Court. Let's go onto the telephone lines right now and speak to Nia Ikweoto, who is a former Attorney General. We also have Godwin Eduji Tamakulu,
Kuklo, who is the Director of Legal Affairs with the National Democratic Congress. Let me start with Nia Ikeotu. Grateful for your time this evening. Why now? Why has the former Chief Justice, what informed her decision to file these fresh processes at the High Court?
Why are you saying why? When did the day happen? Was it not only on the 1st of September? Not to today, as written in the process of your opinion. It has not even been said. It's a full reason as to what took place, except the what we have all read and what you said you had accepted. There's nothing wrong.
The laws.
The law and the intuition. Right. You did what you have. I think it's quite clear that we all know that some petitions were filed for the removal of herself as the Chief Justice. There was nothing about removal as a Supreme Court judge, and the processes for appointment and the processes for removal are not the same. So when the president in issuing a warrant of removal says that she has been removed as Chief Justice as well as a Supreme Court judge, is he not entitled to question the authority by which the president is acting? That is all she's doing.
Mm. She is indeed. Hold on for me. I'll come back to you. Let me bring in Godwin Edoji Tamaklo, Director of Legal Affairs at the NDC. Grateful for your time as well. Let me pick your initial reaction to this fresh process at the High Court.
Is this Evans?
This is Kenneth.
Oh, sorry, Kenneth. Good evening, and good evening to my learners. Are you good? I think a certain level of desperation has set in. I've had the benefits of reading the 77-page processes that have been filed, and most of the matters raised are matters that have one way or the other been decided by the Superior Court of our land. And so this judicial review application appears to be an attempt to keep a matter that has been decided and concluded in the public domain.
Let me let Mr. Ikweo to respond to this. He says it's a desperation.
Before he comes in.
Okay.
I listened to the tail end of the submissions by my senior, Ikweo, and cleverly, if you read the processes that have been found, essentially, what the leadership now removed Chief Justice is saying is that, particularly with the A, in terms of the declaration, that a declaration that the president is devoid of power to remove a justice of the Superior Court office without recourse to the mandatory procedure set out in Article 146 of the Constitution. Even a reading of this Relief 1 clearly suggests a question of the powers of the president. An interpretative matter disguised as a judicial review application, cleverly. But immediately you begin to unravel the disguise.
Mm.
the conclusion you come to is the fact that the Chief Justice now removed labors under a certain misconception that you can be removed as a Chief Justice but still remain as a Justice of the Superior Court. It is this misconception that is animating this socializing process.
Okay, Mr. Tabaklu.
Thankfully, maybe yes, so I can go on this. Thankfully, the Supreme Court of Ghana in the seminal case of Ghana Bar Association versus the Attorney General reported in the 1995-1996 Ghana Law Report. My Lord Justice Kagan expressed himself this week, and I'll just read.
Briefly, without, please.
Yes, without missing words, the ultimate result that this act is intended to achieve for the plaintiff is the removal of the second defendant as Chief Justice of Ghana. And as a fallout, a judge of the Supreme Court. The substantive of the plaintiff's case, as we have stated earlier, is that the second defendant is not a man of high moral character and proven integrity to be the Chief Justice. If so, facto, a judge of the Supreme Court.
Okay.
Since the qualifications are admittedly the same. So, if the second defendant is disqualified from occupying the post of Chief Justice on grounds of lack of integrity, I do not see how he can continue to be a judge of the Supreme Court. Unquote.
Mr. Tamaklo, let me bring in Mr. Ikwetu at this point. Mr. Ikwetu, Mr. Tamaklo has described this fresh process as desperation. Is that something you agree with?
See, me, I don't believe in this radio discussion where you bring somebody from one end, another from the other end. I don't believe in that kind of thing, especially in a live matter which is pending. Let me remind him that I was a member of the legal team, the Ghana Bar Association legal team, and we took that matter to court. It was based on Article 128, the qualifications of a member of the Superior Court. What should you be of high moral character and proven integrity before you can go there? It's got nothing to do with removal of a Superior Court judge, or for that matter, a Supreme Court judge. We did what we did deliberately by asking that his warrant should be given to be removed. And then we tried to run away from Article 146. So what the Supreme Court told us was that we cannot remove that person except by coming through the processes laid down in Article 146. So go and read it well. I was a member. We helped to draft all those things. So we were finding a way to have the chief justice at the time removed by hiding under 128 and not that he's not of high moral character and proven integrity. It's got nothing to do with Article 146. Because there, if you read it, you should go and read it again. It is well stated that the procedures laid down in this article are the only procedures which shall be followed in the removal. So you have procedures for removal of a Supreme Court judge or a Superior Court judge, and the removal for procedures for the removal of a Chief Justice.
Okay.
They are not the same. You should stop confusing the public with what he's talking about.
Okay. Mr. Ikwetu, thank you very much. That's a former Attorney General. We also earlier had Godwin Edwiji Tamaklu, who's the Director of Legal Affairs with the NDC. Now, you must brace yourself to pay for goods and services. That is according to the National Identification Authority that says they are working to roll out an e-wallet system on the Ghana card. The move, according to Executive Secretary of the NIA, is in fulfillment of the full requirement of the card and also help generate revenue to wean off the authority from government financing. He spoke to my colleague, James Avigi.
Other revenue option, one major one we are looking at is the e-wallet. You know, the Ghana card has three profiles on it, the EID, the e-passport, and the e-wallet. The e-passport has already been activated. The next one we want to do is the e-wallet. Now, once we activate the e-wallet, what it means is that you can put money on your Ghana card and use it to do transaction, that is to pay for anything that you do. And we are hoping that that one will generate a huge sums of money for us, and
charges from
transactions and everything. If you have to even take the other banks are taking huge sums of money, but since this one is going to be, we are hoping to lower it down so that that's one good revenue model that we are looking at. We are also looking at the data statistics. You know, we've heard that Gold Board and others want to do tokenization. So we are also looking at that ones where we can assist, come in on to help them.
So they adopt the Ghana card as the means of the transaction with their tokenizers.
Exactly, exactly. So we are looking at that one too.
Right. We understand that Edoji Tamaklo, who is the Director of Legal Affairs with the NDC, wants to make a quick rebuttal. Mr. Tamaklo, please, you have 30 seconds. Go on.
Okay, so clearly, like my senior said, the GBA and Attorney General case, popularly called the Starbank case, was a strategy by the GBA to remove the Chief Justice then. The Supreme Court then took steps to go through the elaborate process for the removal of the Chief Justice.
Okay.
And then conclude that the two are one and the same. I'm surprised that he's saying that it is not connected. Thank you.
Thank you too. Now, a third generation commercial users of Chaco at one of Accra's biggest eateries have shared a heartwarming story of their willingness to abandon Chaco and gully migrate liquefied petroleum gas, which is LPG. This is coming at a time where there are concerns over health and environmental concerns over the continuous use of Chaco and firewood for cooking. The Fulham Report has more.
2023 revealed in a research that firewood and charcoal contribute at least 39% of source of energy for cooking in Ghana. To find out more, I visit a chobba here in Accra to hear their story. I meet Narama and her sister Sandra, a third generation owners of the popular heavy do chobba.
49 years ago, we started with firewood. That's what we started with. And then we moved from firewood to charcoal. So when we moved to charcoal and then technology also came in and technology was growing, we moved from charcoal to gas.
So why did they switch back to charcoal?
We bought two bags of charcoal and we used it to cook. So after cooking, we realized that the cost of using the charcoal was a bit okay than the gas. That was when we introduced the use of the gas and the charcoal at the same time. Yes.
It has emerged, however, that this is not only posing threat to the environment, but to the human health as well.
In Ghana, it is projected that unclean cooking methods claim about 17,000 lives annually.
For now, Nanama, on behalf of her sister, has pledged willingness to go back to operate fully on LPG regardless the cost, but on condition that government will revamp the cylinder recirculation model to make access more convenient.
If government should listen to our cry, why not? We would stop the use of charcoal due to the other health hazards it has on us. We'll stop using it and then we'll fall on the gas to produce our food.
And that's how we end Newsnight tonight. Thank you very much for being a part of the show. My name is Kenneth Jesse. Have a good evening.